The Armchair Illini Podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.
They're holding their breath in champagne. They'll let you know. Peters on the roll. Looking for the end zone, throwing, it's caught! Daniel Barker, touchdown!
In the end zone, it is caught! Casey Washington's got it! Illinois pulled off the upset!
Welcome into the Armchair Illini Podcast. Welcome to our Spotify Live. We'll be doing these pretty regularly now that football season is underway. We kind of took the summer off a bit and started a website and some other cool stuff going on. But my name is Zach Leslie, and as always, I'm joined by Alex Chi. Alex, how are you?
Doing great, man. We're back. You know, we got the site going. Excited to just finally get back to making content again, reaching out with you guys. I feel like towards the end of last season, we got pretty good discussions with everyone.
Yeah.
Brandon, nice to you, King Fisher. We all had some good talks, so excited to do it all again.
Yeah, it's fun to be back. It's fun during this week. Like, I think game week of the first game of the season is like the most excited I am and the most high on the team as I will be all year probably. Before a single snap's been played, like, you know, there's a ton of possibilities. Just wrote about that very thing on armchairilliniad.com. Little plug there. If you all haven't checked out the site yet, we got articles up on there. We posted a couple during training camp, and now that the season's here, we got a player preview for Chase Brown and what his season might look like, all that sort of stuff over there, armchairilliniad.com. So yeah, just excited to be back and talking like substantial, like Illinois sports stuff after kind of a summer of, you know, a recruiting story here or whatever else, but to have something to chew on and stuff that's finally here is pretty cool. So,
content, yeah, man, dude, I'm excited because it was like I was saying, it's always such a reach to like make some sort of content, or it's just like, oh, I'm just gonna repost like an Io DeSumo video just for like
to get
or something. But yeah, no, we'll get our boys who usually come in here. Eric, I see you, man. We'll get you up here in a bit. But yeah, man, what do you think? I'm hoping that when you go, Zach's going to be in Champaign this Saturday. Zach Leslie's returned to Champaign. I'm excited for him. He gets to experience a game day again and see Illinois versus Wyoming firsthand. And how are your seats? Are you in the horseshoe or where are you at?
Not in the horseshoe. I think the last time, so for those of you who are listening, the last time I went to an Illinois football game was against Ball State in 2017, I want to say. Just an awful game to be at. Illinois won. They didn't lose. But, like, just the worst football game you could imagine.
They might as well have lost.
And I think it was pretty – yeah, it was pretty low scoring. And actually, one of my friends from high school was the kicker for Ball State who had a chance to beat Illinois, but Illinois blocked the kick. So, like – I was bummed for my friend, but also pumped the Illinois one, obviously. I think that year, that was 2017, we sat like on the visitor side in pretty good seats. We might do that again, but closer to the horseshoe. We were like, I think, you know, 10, 15 rows up. So like pretty nice, pretty close to the field and stuff. And since it was Ball State, like it was mostly Illinois people, even though it's like the visitor side or whatever. So it'll probably be on that side again just because it's a lot cheaper, but it'll be kind of towards the horseshoe, I think.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I'm just hoping it will be a good turnout. I'm not too sure how it will be because I remember you know, last year with Bielma's first game, even though the heat was pretty overbearing, like it was still a very good turnout. And I think the first three or four games, even like the UTSA game, the student section showed out, and I think they even sold out. I don't know if it was because of Bielma being new, or you know, everyone was finally able to go to a game. It was just like right after all the COVID restrictions opened up. So we'll see what happens. I hope it's a good turnout, but even if there's not that big of a turnout, I feel like just being there, especially first game, opening day, is always a good time. Until they, you know, go down like 14-7 at the half, and you're just like, what the hell is going on? But I we'll get into it in a bit, but I think it should be pretty simple. I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a path for this team as we kind of get into our predictions here. If you all want to speak, you can start sending your requests. We'll invite you on to talk and chat with us. But I think there's a path to 6 wins here, and I think that's kind of what I'm asking for. Is, you know, 5-7 year one, I think compared to a lot of year ones, is pretty good. Especially when I think about the Lovey era. I think they went 3-9 year one, and then went 2-10 year two, and got worse somehow. So it'd be cool to get some momentum rolling and to be 6-6 at least, and make a bowl game. And I think there's a path forward to do that. And I hope that's ultimately the end result, and that it's a good week zero W against Wyoming, a team that they should beat. They're not, you know, I don't think they're like FCS or anything, but like a team they should beat and take care of at home. But you know, it maybe it will be harder than I think it will be, but hopefully it's a pretty straightforward W on Saturday. That would be welcome.
Eric, my guy, where are your seats? You said you were going, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna be in the horseshoe.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm gonna be like right in the height of that whole thing.
Yeah.
Trying to remember where I think it's the same seats last year, but I don't remember the number.
Yeah.
It's like right behind the field goal post.
Okay, so you're not in the student section, right? You're like in the horseshoe.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, literally in the horseshoe.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, are you tailgating?
Yes. We're having walking tacos before the game, so.
Man. Nice.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
That's good, man. I mean, which games did you go to last year?
All the home games. We left early at the Northwestern game because it was cold, but last year I was at all home games, including the Charlotte win as well.
Oh, yeah. So you were there for the Wisconsin Slugfest, huh?
Unfortunately, yes, I was.
I remember watching this, and I was like, what am I doing with my Saturday here? Like, this is.
That's how I felt with the UTSA game last year, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
That was a night game, too. Oh.
Yeah. Everyone got so hyped up because we beat Nebraska. We looked pretty good. Even with Art Sikowski, I remember everyone was pretty hyped up, and then we just pooped everywhere and gave up.
Like, well, to be fair, UTSA was incredible last year, and it was like week two, and we didn't like know that they were incredible, you know, since it was so early in the season that it felt like such a deflating loss. But like in retrospect, probably not like the worst loss ever.
They actually had some prospects too, and I think Chase Brown was injured. You know, I think Isaiah Williams obviously still figuring out the position at the time. So yeah, I mean, looking back, it probably wasn't that bad, but at the moment, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
And the only reason the mail-in game sucked is because we got out at like midnight.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You're like trying to.
Because it was such a late start.
On a bus or something after you're all pissed off.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, I'm pretty excited just to at least get some content back on the road, you know, because I feel like nothing's been going on since the Houston game, or even like, I think the last thing something happened was like Terrence Shannon doing something. And that was like in the late spring, April, May, I think. So it's been quite a while.
The last podcast we did was Matthew Meyer, committing.
Yeah.
Transferring from Baylor.
That seems like, you know, it didn't even happen
forever ago.
It was so long ago. But just to talk through what I think this year will go, I'm going to try to post an article later this week about the official record. But I think that if this team is healthy, and if, and it's very unlikely, but if they can avoid injuries to the offensive line, the defensive line, and anyone in the secondary, and I know I just named three positions there, but if they can avoid major injuries for that, I think they can possibly win 6 to 7 games. If they,
I mean, I think, yeah. I mean, I think depth is definitely the biggest, like, question mark.
I think that.
And a lot of positions, like you mentioned, offensive line, if anybody gets hurt there, like, that's going to be tough. Secondary, kind of similar. But last year, we had a lot of players in the secondary that kind of, like, emerged as the season went on and surprised. So maybe there's a couple like that we haven't talked about very much that will just kind of, you know, rise to the surface into the occasion. And hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, I think as long as we're able to just – not shoot ourselves in the foot. You know, if we can hold on to the ball, I think we can win some of these games. I mean, we're not really playing anybody, I would say, that's out of the realm of where we're at. So, at least for the most part. So, and Bulima, I think, knows that, right? He learned that at New England, where, you know, Belichick always preaches how it's, you know, games are lost, not won. So, even with the injuries, if you can just hold on to the ball, limit the penalties, you know, I can see us beating, like, you know, Indiana or, you know, schools like that, too. So, I can see 6 or 7 wins. I'm actually pretty bearish on, excuse me, bullish on this team, where I think they can actually win 7 games.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that crazy of an idea.
I think, like you're saying, if, and I think Zach wrote this about, I wrote about this in his article, where Tommy DeVito, just hand the ball off, make the simple play, get the ball to your best playmakers in Chase Brown and Isaiah Williams. Like, keep it simple. You don't need to be, you know, Patrick Mahomes or anything. I think if you could just keep it simple, not turn the ball over, then you could be serviceable. But I also think that injuries are bound to happen. And I just feel like if there's one injury to the offensive line or the defensive line, if, you know, either Keith Randolph, Johnny Newton, you know, even Calvin Avery, if one of those guys get hurt, it's a pretty significant drop off. Yeah. And injuries are going to happen to multiple positions. And then even linebacker too, I think past CJ Hart and Tariq Barnes, there's really not much. I mean, they're relying on a former walk-on, I think, as the third string linebacker. So that's, I mean, maybe he's really good, but that's also kind of worrisome. So I think if just being the Illini fan, I know something's going to go wrong. And if that does go wrong, then this team has a very, very low floor. And I think 3 or 4 games isn't even out of the question. I hate to sound like such an ass, but, I mean, that's kind of the reality of how it's really.
It is. I mean, we're talking about Iowa, right? I mean, who else in the Big Ten, right? Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan State.
Yeah, so that's going to be a slippery slope. You know, it could be 3 losses right there, you know. So we have to win, like, at least the other 2 or 3 that are hopefully a couple of non-conference wins, and then, you know, that'll give us the 6 or 7 that we're looking for.
I think it's crazy, but the Indiana game is 1,000% must win.
Oh, I agree.
What, like, no ifs, agreed, ands, or buts.
100%. Completely.
If you can go 4-0 to start, that'd be so ideal. I mean, 3-1, okay, fine. But if you can win the first 4 games, that means you just have to win 2 games out of the last 8 games just to make a bowl game. And you're gonna be able to beat, you know, Nebraska, Purdue, Northwestern, or Minnesota. Obviously, I'm not asking you to beat Wisconsin or Iowa or Michigan at the Big House. But 2 of those games, I think that's totally achievable. If you can just go 4-0, make sure you beat Indiana at their place, that would be so ideal. But we'll see.
Obviously, I'm worried about the Indiana game as much as you, but I feel like I'd rather just assume we beat them for now. I feel like that Virginia game is going to be the factor that determines if we can make a bowl game, because obviously we lose to Indiana, we're probably not making a bowl game.
No, yeah.
However, if we lose to Virginia 3-1, we need to see upsets. Obviously, Northwestern is not really an upset, however – you get to the Nebraska, the Purdue, the Iowa, the Minnesotas. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look too bright. So I feel like 4-0 is probably the only chance we have to make a bowl game unless we go on a stellar run.
Was it 2013 when they went like 6-0 and then lost the last six?
I think it was Zooks last year.
Yeah, I think that was classic. Yeah, I think I was in school for that. Yeah, they went 6-0, then it was then 0-6. I think that was Shieldhouse, right?
Yeah.
I think it was with like Regis Benn and all that.
So yeah, that's my senior year, I think.
I mean, looking back on it, I'm trying to think of my 4 years. It was 3 years of Beckman. So I think like, oh yeah, when I think we made one bowl game, like my sophomore year, it was like the Heart of Dallas Bowl or some weird cereal bowl. And then my senior year was Lovey's first year. So it was like, okay, I kind of get it, but then it was just pitiful football all around. And I really think, like, you know, Ethan, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, I think this team is going to beat someone that they're not supposed to, and then at the same time lose to like a Purdue or Indiana or, you know, one of the teams that you feel like they should beat, just because that's kind of how I feel. Especially it's definitely it may not be an old or a young squad, but it's definitely kind of an inexperienced one when you kind of look at the fact that DeVito's been out for, you know, he didn't really play last year. You know, Isaiah Williams is going to be the number one receiver. You know, offensive line's pretty new. So it's a lot of ifs, I feel like.
I'm kind of curious why you said we should be Purdue, because I personally have them as a top 25 team, or at bare minimum a 6-6 bowl team. So why do you feel like the Purdue should be an easier win for us than
I just feel like they're one of those teams that has, like, they have the firepower to beat anyone, obviously with Jeff Brom's offense. You know, they beat Ohio State, and then, you know, but they've also lost a good amount of easy games just because that's what kind of comes with that, you know, all or nothing offense. You know, if you're on, you're on, but if you're not, like, you're kind of screwed. So that's why I feel like they're, even though they may have the talent, they're always going to be some sort of, you know, beatable. I mean, it's also Purdue. It doesn't really, you know, strike fire into my veins to see them on the other side. But I'm not too sure about, you know, their quarterback situation. I haven't really looked up into them. But, you know, I just feel like they've been on a similar level as Illinois. So why not be able to beat them, you know?
So I think Purdue – I think Aiden O'Connell is like, he's being like lofted as this great quarterback, and a lot of, I don't, he could be one of the, you know, he could be a top three or four quarter, but they lost David Bell and they lost the guy who was going to like take his receiving yards, his number one receiving spot in Milton. And so he transferred, and now they don't have really any returning number one receiver. Man, I really got to.
you just like stepped in. You bit off more than you
could. I did. Basically, they're not returning the receiving talent that they thought that they expected here.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Brown's kind of been overrated anyways. I think just because he's beaten Ohio State, just because he's done some, you know, kind of cool things with Rondale Moore, you know, David Bell, George Karloftis, all that. And I mean, he's 28 and 29 in his career at Purdue, you know, 20 and 22 in the Big Ten. I mean, obviously Illinois fans would give their left foot for that kind of record, but it's not that impressive considering how much he's getting paid, to be honest.
No, I agree. I think I've got Purdue. There's a few other games in there. Maybe the Virginia one, though. But Virginia, based on what they lost, I think I've slipped down the, like, updated, like, power rankings or whatever. But there's a few, like, coin flip games that if you win them can kind of take you into that level of being a bowl team, or – take you into maybe seven wins, maybe one more win. I don't think this team's an 8-win team, but like there's a few games that are not impossible to win, that if, you know, maybe you play them 10 times and maybe you win 4 or you win 6. Like there's a few of those in there in the schedule to where if you're on a good day, like it could change kind of the course of your season. But I think, you know, beat the teams you're supposed to beat, maybe win a game you shouldn't and go 500 in your coin flip games. And you're right about 6 wins. So I don't think this team has to do anything impossible to make a bowl game or anything like that, like it felt during the Lovey years at times. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm definitely pretty high on them. I don't know if you all follow them on Instagram, the Illinois football Instagram page, but they've been killing it with the video content lately, like just some like really funny stuff that has made this team really likable really quick. So I'm definitely rooting for them. They're a pretty easy team to root for. So yeah, I'm pretty high on them at the moment.
At the moment.
So we'll see. Yeah. Usually with Illinois football, it's like right about now is when I'm the highest on them.
Like, let's do this.
By week 4, it's like, all right,
basketball. it's basketball season. Yeah. But, I mean, the first 4 games, I think, should be definitely interesting. If they're 2-2, like, I'm probably just going to stop watching the season, to be honest. But, yeah, no, I definitely. Brendan, are you going to the game or?
No, I live in South Florida, fortunately, so I won't be able to make it. I think the last game I was at Soldier Field when they played Washington. Oh, and they got whooped on that game, too. That's the last time I've seen an Illinois game live. Unless they go to a bowl game down here, of course, but hopefully, you know, that happens sometime soon. But unfortunately, that's been the case since I've been down here.
Yeah, I think they came down to South Florida for, like, one game.
You know what? Yeah, they played that was with Hurricane Irma. They played USF, and that was kind of a weird weekend where the Bears played the Bucks too, and I was planning on going out there, but, you know, with the storm and everything, we just decided not to. But yeah, that was the one time, you're right, when they came down to USF, and I think they lost that game too.
Was that Bears game? No, I was going to say, was that the Mitch Trubisky 6 touchdown game? But I think that one was in Chicago.
It was. It was in Chicago. I personally have this team starting the season 3-1 with the loss being to Virginia. And then either beating Nebraska, Purdue, and Northwestern, or Minnesota, Nebraska, and Northwestern. I see a 6-6 season.
Yeah.
And when you guys brought up an upset, bookmark this October 1st, Illinois, Wisconsin, 12 overtimes.
All right, let's
12 overtimes.
Yes, 12 overtimes.
Let's do it.
Got a top last year against Penn State.
I'm kind of curious what they're going to do at the Big House at Michigan. I mean, it's either going to be like the Penn State game or it's just going to be like a complete, you know, mollywhopping. I'm not too sure how it's going to go there.
Well, it's been a while since we played there too, right? I mean,
I think so, yeah, because we don't get Michigan every year, and I think last couple times they were at our place, and then, yeah, I don't even remember last time we played them in football.
Yeah, that was the season we upset Wisconsin. Like, it was literally like the week before we stayed with them in the game, and then the next week we upset Wisconsin.
Right, yeah, that was like, I remember that. I think like Matt Robinson was the quarterback.
Exactly who the quarterback was.
Yeah. Thing that season was something else. I mean, I'm obviously very glad we made a bowl game, but man, that, because we started 2-4, we like almost lost to UConn, who like is barely a Division I football school. We lost like Eastern Michigan, and I was like, man, this Lovey thing's falling off the rails. And it was, honestly. I mean, we fell ass backwards into that bowl game, but anyways.
Yeah, during that Eastern Michigan game, I was there at the game. And every time we came back and tied the game, I yelled from the stands, "Stop giving me hope." And then we ended up losing.
Oh, so you saw the 4th and baby?
I did. That was actually my screensaver for the longest time. Yeah. Illinois football was doing some wallpaper Wednesday with request a photo of some Illinois moment that happened. So I requested Josh Adebebe's catch against Eastern Michigan, and I got it was my screensaver for the longest time.
That game was like full of just unnecessarily cool moments. It was like, this is cool, but this also shouldn't be happening.
It sucked because every single game I went to that exact season, they lost.
Oh God! And you're going.
Because I went to Nebraska. Yeah. Well, listen, we did fairly decent last year. Oh, we had five wins, but I went to Nebraska, Eastern Michigan, and Northwestern, and every single game they lost. God.
That Northwestern game.
It was awful sitting in that. I didn't even make it to halftime.
Yeah, that's when I was enraged with Lovey. Remember, he didn't go to that, what was that, like a high school football coaches conference in Champaign. He decided not to, like, because I think Illinois hosts it, right? And he didn't go. And then I think he said he wanted to focus on, like, Northwestern or whatever and then got pounded. It's like, dude, you're not going to, like, you know, go to your own, like, you know, conference with the coaches in your state and then get killed by Northwestern.
Yeah. Like, it's funny. Enough,
you got to go.
Yeah, it's funny that he didn't do that because my former high school's head coach absolutely hated Lovey Smith, and we had a D1 player go to Oklahoma State because how much he hated Lovey Smith.
Oh, Hunter? Was it
he
Hunter?
He got Woodard? In on exactly who that was. He got in on Hunter way too late, and a former quarterback from a few years ago, Nick Bates, wasn't even recruited by Illinois, and Romine was so pissed. And was like, go play, told Nick to go play baseball, and then told Hunter to go to Oklahoma State, which they're having way more success than Illinois was. So.
I mean, I probably would have done the same thing.
True.
Hunter Woodard.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like, we can get into this, but, man, Lovey had so many moments of just straight up just incompetence. Like, it's not even funny, especially looking back. Like, Brandon, you mentioned how he just didn't even show up for the coach's clinic. He probably drove past it and, like, didn't want to go.
Right.
Like, it was probably at the iHotel.
I mean, I say this all the time. I, like, doubt he even knew, like, where the quad was.
Like, for sure. I mean, that's where he failed. You know, he wasn't a college guy. He didn't understand the recruiting aspect at all.
That was the biggest thing that annoyed me under the Lovey era, is that the fact he absolutely refused to recruit within the state.
He just didn't care. Like, it was...
Right.
Okay, I'm Lovey Smith. If you want to come here, come
here. Exactly.
But if you don't, cool. And, like, you can't do that when you're Illinois. You can maybe do that if you're, you know, in the top of, like, Michigan even. You could probably get away with it. But Illinois, like, you got to be passionate. You got to be kind of what PJ Fleck did.
Yeah.
It sucks. But you kind of have to do that.
Well, you got to sell it. You know, yeah. That's the reality of it. I mean, it's. No, I mean, especially the kids you're recruiting, they don't know who Lovey Smith is. Like, you know, I do. You know, I remember the 2005 Bears, you know, but, you know, no one else does. You know, the kids that you're reaching out to don't. So you can't even use that line because no one even knows who you are anymore. So it's just, that was the one thing about Lovey. I was worried about the hire.
Those kids would have been about my age, so like a little bit older than me. And I'm 20, so... And I was 3 in 05, so there's no way in hell they remember anything back then.
I mean, speaking of...
Which is weird to say, because my
all-time
favorite Illini is Dee Brown.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of Lovey Smith, I mean, the Bears get a nice little week 3 vacation by getting to play Lovey Smith and Houston Texans. You know, I know they play the Packers and the 49ers to start off, but they get good old Lovey Smith in week 3. Who I have no idea how he even has a coaching job.
I was about to say the same thing, man. I don't have any. I mean, Lovey Smith's a great guy. But
I think he's a good coach, honestly. I think he is, just that for the NFL, you know, you get, like, your players, right, either, like, they tackle or you don't, right? Like, you don't have to go out on recruiting. It's just, you know, you tell these NFL players what to do, and if they do it, it works. But when you're in college, you have to get, like, an 18-year-old. And if you're Illinois, you're getting, like, this, you know, 3-star kid who's probably not going to run the right route or, you know, make the right play. Mm-hmm. So it's just –
You don't have to
totally sell different. Those.
Yeah.
You know, so Lovey, I don't think, was good at, like, coaching. Like, when was the last time you think Lovey had to teach someone how to tackle? Right? They don't do that in the NFL. You know what I mean? It's like, when's the last time you could convince someone to play for him? Like, you never did that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, my whole thing was just, like, one, the kind of like the he didn't care. And then two, he started getting snippy with the media. Even though it was kind of funny at times to kind of see him kind of chirp back, but like
at the end, he just it was so bad, and the recruiting class just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I mean, obviously he went at the right time, but man, that was because I was so excited when Whitman made that hire. It's like, oh my god.
Oh, me too.
Like this is happening. Like we got Lovie Smith. We went from Tim Beckman to Lovie Smith. Like this is amazing. But little did I know, honestly, Beckman might have had a better overall record than Lovie Smith.
I'm not gonna lie, when the announcement first got made that Lovie was coming, I thought we just like did a Michigan with where they got Jim Harbaugh, and boy was I fucking wrong.
Yeah, that was bad.
I was like, oh god, we just counted Michigan because they got Jim Harbaugh, we got Lovie Smith, and then they started winning and made a college football playoff, and we're still trying to find the right head coach.
Yeah, little did we know that like attendance would go down with Lovie Smith.
Yes,
yeah, that's the shocker.
There was a game with Lovie Smith that I always remember his post-game press conference. It was against Western Michigan where they had this one really cool special play where I think like Westlock caught a touchdown pass. And in the post-game interview, he was like, yeah, you got to find your bread and butter with all that. And like, looking back on it now, I was like, what bread and butter? You didn't have any. You're making bread without the grain and you're making butter without the milk.
That's funny.
Yeah. But I think Alex, you nailed it a little bit ago when you were talking about like what we're looking for in this year's team and Bielema's teams, and it's really just like base level like competency. Like I'm not expecting to go to the college football playoff. I am just asking to be decent to above average or even average would be fine with me. I think most everybody who's talked so far, I think we're all on the same page that 6 wins would be a fine, good result. I'd be pretty happy with that. I think there's a pretty clear path to get there. So those of you who are up and on the mic, why don't you share your season predictions as far as win-loss record goes and maybe throw out a wild prediction. I'm going to predict that Artur Sitkowski starts 2 games. That's my prediction this year, that even though Tommy DeVito is obviously the starter, well, not obviously, Bielema hasn't named it, but my take is that Artur Sitkowski will start 2 games this year.
Yeah, that's quite the take. I mean,
not because of talent, injury, but because of necessity, not like because okay. It's good.
Yeah, I like that. That's pretty different, but I would say this team, okay, it's tough to say with or without injury because obviously you never hope for it, but you know it's going to happen. I'm going to go with 6-6. I think this team gets it done, makes the bowl game, creates some positive momentum in the recruiting trail.
Yeah, let's hope they capitalize on it.
Yeah, honestly. But like watch us like make a bowl game, and then you know how like with Coach Underwood, like his entire staff got like depleted. I can see that also happening. Like Ryan Walters becomes a head coach. Corey Patterson becomes like a mid-major head coach. Anyways, I would say 6-6, and my bold prediction is that I want to say that what's a good one? I'm trying to think of something that's a little bit more out there, but I do think Chase Brown will be a top 10 running back in America. I'll go with that.
Okay. No, you go.
No, you're good, Eric. Already good, man.
Okay. So my prediction 6-6 with Wyoming, Indiana, Chattanooga wins against them, and then Minnesota, Nebraska, and Northwestern as the wins. My bold prediction is I'm going to go based off what Alex said. I feel like that Chase Brown is going to break a school record.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go kind of broad on it, but I feel like Chase Brown is going to break a record.
I'm going to say another one. I'm going to say we beat Iowa at home. Screw it.
Bring it. Let's go.
I'm going to say that.
Yes.
Iowa, October 8th. it's like a home game. I might try to go to that one.
I'll be there.
We will beat Iowa.
Well, let's hope that we don't get – Yeah, I'll be in the horseshoe. Let's hope we don't get 63-0 slaughtered again.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. I remember that.
I like literally like that day like wanted to like never like look at Orange ever again.
That was probably the worst day ever. go ahead, Eric.
Well, it was for me because I'm pretty sure my grandma was in the hospital that day.
Oh man.
Eesh.
Yeah.
Sorry, boss.
Sorry, man.
She's fine.
All right, Brendan.
All right. Well, I guess my bold prediction, I guess, would be my season prediction here. I'm actually really bullish on this team. I think they can win 7 games. Now, as long as they can actually just hold on to the ball. And I think another prediction I'll go along with that is maybe having a team here that will maybe have the least amount of penalty yards. You know, if they can do things like that, I really think they can win games and have an upset win, say, against a Michigan State or even against Iowa at home. So I think it might go in a way where it's a lot of a lot of fun in the beginning. You know, we pull off that 4-0 start and just sort of fizz out at the end, you know, losing probably to Michigan and Wisconsin and whatnot in the way out the season there. But I think we'll have a big win against Northwestern that could get us to that 7-win plateau, and I think get this program back in the right direction, get something that Lima can really sell, to the kids and keep this thing rolling. Because I think they're on the right track. They just gotta get that one or two extra wins,
Yeah, I do think that Northwestern game is gonna be very high stakes. I think it's either gonna be we're 5-6 or something, whatever it is. You know, we need that win to get to a bowl game. For some reason, I just feel like that's gonna be a very pivotal game.
It'd be so nice though if it was like a game to take you to 7 wins or something, though. Like, that would, like, it was in 2019 and then we just crapped the bed, but like it'd be so nice to be able to go into that week and be over 500 afterwards. Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah,
not likely, but that'd be great.
Hey, as long as they hold on to the ball, I think Belima's got it right, though. I think he really does. As long as they can hold the line of scrimmage, hand the ball off. That's right. They got a few running backs, they can lean on. So, just gotta limit those holding penalties, limit the turnovers. The defense started to look really good at the end of the year last year. So, I think they can do it. I think they're gonna play a lot of close games this year. Really, as opposed to some other years, we're lucky with those 63-0 losses. I don't think we're gonna have anything like that this year. So you never know. When you play close games, you might be able to steal one. So. Think they can.
Yeah, I mean, I think last year they played really close for most of the year. I can't remember the stat on how close those there, but there was like a stat going around that of how close the games were last year for the most part, which I think is encouraging going forward. Like, just be competitive in the games that you play, and you win some, you lose some, obviously. But like, man, with Lovey, like, In past eras, like, just getting just absolutely destroyed on a weekly basis was just, like, just the worst. So keep it close. Keep me watching until the fourth quarter would be great every week. And just be competitive, man. Like,
speaking of the I think you mentioned the close games, like the Maryland game last year where I think Peters, like, threw it to an offensive lineman. I was like,
oh, God. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, should have won that game. That Purdue game.
Yep. Exactly. Those two games. Yeah. Oh, they had those. But I think that's what pissed Bielema off so much, because you had two games in the bag and your offense just, pooped out chicken nuggets at that point. So hopefully it's a better result. And it's funny because we weren't even mentioning Kirby Joseph and Josh McCray at this time last year. So,
exactly.
Who knows who's going to pop out. Kirby Joseph was like just playing wide receiver. And then now he got picked. I think he was the 97th pick
yeah.
in Detroit Lions. So you never know,
absolutely. That comes up. Well, thank you all for hopping on this Spotify live.
Can I make an announcement real
absolutely.
Quick? So this is not Illinois football related. This is for me personally. Tomorrow, I'm going to be interviewing for an internship over with Lon Tay's crew. If you guys know who Lon Tay is, he's...
Oh, like Tay and Piper?
Yeah. Except I'm going to be with Stevie J in the morning crew.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Hopefully, if I get it, I'll make the announcement and tell you guys.
Yeah.
Brendan only knows because he's in the Top Gun Illini chat with us. And so I wanted to make that announcement, and I'll let you guys know if I get the internship. I go tomorrow at 9 a.m. So.
Oh, man.
Cool. Good luck, man.
Good luck, man. Yeah.
Thank you.
Let us know if you need anything, like, you know, in terms of, like, random pointers or whatever you need.
I will.
You better be producing for them.
I'm actually wanting to be, like, anything to do with the radio industry, but my favorite thing is the on-air personality thing, because that's what I'm at Parkland right now for 88.7 is an on-air personality. But if I'm in the industry at all, just get my foot in the door, you know.
Absolutely.
I've been in contact with them today, and so tomorrow I'm heading over to the station in Philo.
Yeah, good luck, man.
Sweet.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Yeah, and if you guys need a SeatGeek code, we have one. We just got to plug ourselves right now. And then check out our website. Yeah. We've been working hard on it. And then we got a lot more stuff coming too. So, and then Wednesday, if you guys are free, we're going to try to talk to a Wyoming guy. Kind of what we did sort of towards the end of last year with basketball season, with getting like a Chattanooga guy, someone who covered Texas Tech, similar stuff. So all that's going to be coming like every week. Yeah. So.
And then Saturday too, we'll have a live reaction or like a post game reaction type thing to the game. I might be driving home from Champaign or at the stadium when we do that. I don't know, but we'll do something post game this weekend too, and we'll kind of try to have a rhythm to the week so you all know what to expect and can tune in. So, thank you all for being here.
Yep.
Thank you for having us. Absolutely. I was going to ask about the post game stuff. So
yeah. We'll let you guys know.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you guys.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening. If you all been tuning in, we'll be back very, very soon with another Spotify Live, with another Twitter Space, whatever it may be. Just be on the lookout for when we post on our Twitter account for when those will be going down. So thank you all for joining, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, everyone.
Peace. I'll out.
Aye and aye.
Aye and aye.